Hello and welcome to Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown and I am joined by my brother, Amon Kusro from Hello There. Amon, how you doing, brother?
Hello there. I'm doing pretty well. How are you, Kenny?
Oh, I'm so good. I am so glad that Amon is here. Amon's going to be here dropping some knowledge about Mama T and Dooku as we are thinking about Zi-Fi and just thinking about the list in the competitive format. Amon's played the list a lot and he's going to have some incredible insights. Amon, for the two people on God's green earth that don't know, that are listening to this and don't know who you are, tell us about, give us your background and tell us about Hello There.
First of all, that's very kind of you. So background in gaming, just been gaming my whole life in regards to Star Wars Shatterpoint in particular. Saw the game come out, announced, and I was like, well, kind of have to jump on this right immediately. Yep. And I love Star Wars. It's a special bond that I share with my mom. My mom introduced me to Star Wars. And so I think I've just been a big fan ever since. And so I met Jesse, my co-host, through Marvel Crisis Protocol.
Okay.
And we were at an LVO, gosh, maybe 2023 LVO.
Okay.
And we had both qualified for the MCP, I guess, finals or end of the year circuit qualifier or whatever. Mm-hmm. They kind of announced the North American world champ there, whoever wins that. And so we unfortunately got paired up in an X-Men mirror round one.
Oh, dang.
The only X-Men mirror, but there was a ton of us. And so Jesse, of course, beat me because he's just a monster with X-Men. And we just grabbed drinks afterwards. And I said, hey, Shatterpoint's coming out. I've done a podcast for Warhammer Underworlds.
Yeah.
You've done a podcast for MCP. I don't know. Maybe we can make something work. And the rest is history. We're both Star Wars fans. And yeah, very grateful for that experience that we know we still get to do every week.
Yeah.
And Hello There has been a project that I think started out with, we didn't know where it was going to go. And it's become quite a wonderful passion project, community. Takes up a lot of my free time, but I think
good
way.
Yeah. That is so awesome. And so with MCP, how long did you play? How long have you been playing MCP? Because I know you're still somewhat involved in the game.
Yeah, actually. So I don't play the game anymore.
Okay.
I probably played it for a year, maybe 14 months competitively. Okay. And I think, you know, because I've been gaming since I was the age of 10, I'm 32 now.
Yeah.
I just, a lot of the fundamentals I was able to just pick up very quickly. And I had the wonderful opportunity and luck of being in Texas where there's a lot of great players as well in the greater Texas area, Austin, Dallas as well. So I just picked it up quick. I like to say on the Hello There show, Beskar sharpens Beskar. And this one, you know, maybe it's vibranium sharpens vibranium or whatever.
Yeah.
But I got good with it really quickly. And then I was able to compete on a national level. And then I went to the world championships as well, team championships. So
that's awesome. And you made a passing reference to this, but I will not let it go unsaid. You are the underworld world champion. What's the appellation there?
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. So I've been playing Warhammer Underworld since it came out. It's very similar in theory to Shatterpoint because it's you go, then I go, then you go, then I go, which I love. And there is a card element to it, which is kind of almost like your tactics abilities and your reactive abilities just on cards, and you maybe only get them once per game rather than every activation. But regardless, ton of fun. The World Championships of Warhammer happened last November, first time ever. And so I was able to win it and became the first ever, world champion for Underworlds. And then a very fun tidbit with that is that they were also tracking country rankings. And so it was a tie between the United States and France. And it just so happened that the winner of the finals of Warhammer Underworlds, which is considered the smallest game of the big four, was a game between myself, American, versus a Frenchman.
Oh, man.
And so whoever won that ended up causing the country standings to win that as well. So it was a lot of pressure for a game that a lot of the people weren't too familiar with. And so it was a ton of fun to be able to play that. And Underworld is great, man.
Yeah.
Really enjoy it.
One more tangent on this before we actually move along. But did you ever play IA, Amon?
No, never did.
It's because the thing is that a lot of players from IA bounced into Underworlds because the games are... So Underworlds, my understanding is it's like a hex-based movement system with command cards and everything like that, which is how IA worked. And I heard a lot of players bounce into Underworlds and just love it. I've heard it's an extremely strong game system and just very enjoyable.
It's a ton of fun, like any game. It has its ups and downs. It has moments where things are a little too strong. And then how do you fix that? How do you react to that? So I think from that perspective, you know, I think that GW is a little slower to move than other companies. But other than that, it's great. I have nothing but good things to say. And it feels like the game is at a place where it's finally back, which feels good.
That's awesome. That's very, very awesome. Okay, well, with that introduction out of the way, we're going to do our content creator roundup. I'm going to shout out Hello There's recent episode talking about Mando. They did their episode with Mando Grief and IG-11. I love you guys, how you guys talk about the Mando and Grief and IG. I'm a little bit lower on Grief than you guys are, but one thing that was really driven home to me is how strong Grief gets as we get good bounty hunters. And this is the reason why. Because I was thinking about it as you guys were talking, and one of you made the comment about how that Grief is like Kalani, obviously like a powered down version of Kalani, and that so much of Kalani's strength is based on the fact that he's got these strong droids that can do things, right? And as Grief gets strong bounty hunter units, or these lists kind of round out around him, he can be similarly strong. So I would love for that to be the case. Obviously, I also am really interested once the Mando box comes, or the not the Mando box, the Mandalorians, this is the way box comes out, what that does for the whole lineup. But that was a really, really good episode. And then Momentous Struggle, I think I've actually already have shouted that out, so we'll skip that one. Okay, so for news, Amon, did you see Kanan and Ezra? Did you see their command or their combat trees?
I did, man. I don't know what to do with all these releases, dude. Like, we don't get anything for 6 months, and then they just drop the whole village on us.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. June and July are just going to be crazy months. For the Rebel players, I am so excited to get Han and then Spectre. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think it's going to really drive some awesome things for the game.
I think we might all be Rebels players in the near future.
I mean, I hope so. Those Empire's been good enough for long enough, so they can eat it. Okay, so we've got that. I should also say, for those of you who have not checked it out, Kanan's combat stances are wild. He's got a pack leader stance that has extremely strong ranged and melee expertise, and then he has what we think is the best sorcery form in the game. So you guys should check him out. They're very, very strong. Okay, so that's that. Our last shout out is for the Zi-Fi Invitational, which is happening in a week and a half. And we are so excited. We're going to have 32 players. We might have a few more. And it's going to be so much fun. And obviously, we'll be giving the shout out on that. Okay, Amon, tell us about your recent games that you've been playing.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. So we're in the middle of the Hello There League, Episode 5 right now. And we've got 38 players. It is a online league, so we're playing on TTS. Ton of fun. And so I've been really messing around with Hunter. I might just be on a bad batch high because the show just ended and I've really fallen in love with those characters. But Hunter and Obi-Wan Kenobi, General Obi-Wan, has been really fun for me. One thing that we're doing in our league, and we were talking about this a little bit right before we started, was I challenged some of the senior members of the community and then some of the, you know, higher skill level players as well. But I kind of opened it up to everyone really. It was, hey, we're playing Premier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to play Django Obi-2. Neither is Jesse. If you guys want to do it, you can do it. And a lot of people took up the challenge, and it was amazing to see. So because I'm not taking Obi-2, that opened up General Obi-Wan Kenobi, right?
And yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's been a ton of fun.
Seems good.
Just to be able to get that pairing on the table. And I must say that Hunter is incredible. He almost feels like a Vader light in the sense that he's just bumping up your consistency and your damage output incredibly. And in fact, like, I'm really hoping that I just get one miss, right? Yeah. If it's a bad batch character, because you can bump that up. And it's really interesting because, you know, in non-bad batch characters, fine, you just get one more strike. But with a bad batch character, if you rolled no expertise or if you're one away from their next level, that's two strikes or two crits or a dash as well. I mean, they're so mobile, right?
Yep.
So I had a wonderful game last night with this list. So my list is Hunter, Wrecker, and Omega, and the Wolfpack Troopers with General Obi-Wan, Rex, and the ARF Troopers. And I played into the Gideon box and the Vader 2 box.
Mm-hmm.
That list is very dirty, very scary.
Yes, it is.
Very mobile as well. But I think what was really fascinating for me was not only am I getting more attacks through because of Hunter's identity, but when everything is being exposed by an ARF,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It just increases that efficacy and compounds it so much more. So a ton of fun there. I definitely think there were some moments where I think the dice kind of helped out, but that's what sure. the list is trying to do, right?
Yeah.
You're playing an attrition rolly dice list. And so,
yep.
yeah, I think it was a ton of fun, but I certainly think it could have gone the other way if maybe my dice weren't so hot. I think the game started with, I shatterpointed Rex just yep. so I could get a move on soldier.
Yep.
Shot at his sergeant, left him on two.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And then I drew Rex and I was okay, well, I guess I'll just focus and shoot your other characters because I'm already steadfast holding a point.
Yeah.
And I left his stormtroopers on one.
Oh man. Oh man. You know, that is a wild start to that game.
Yeah. So that kind of carried me through, I must say. And you know, sometimes that, I mean, that's Shatterpoint, right? It's a game of snowballing and yeah. dice spikes early happen.
Yeah.
And set the tone.
Why are you running Wolfpack and not Tekko?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I definitely think Tekko works really well with General Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? Because mm-hmm. that hunker synergy is fantastic. I think it's a thought experiment for me personally, because I like the idea of Tekko. Obviously, we know it works well with yep. the list, but if I want to maybe take my list and say I want to play four Republic primaries
mm-hmm.
and I want Hunter as my anchor,
yeah.
right? Can I make the other supporting clone troopers work?
Okay. That makes sense.
And I found it to be a little bit of a mixed bag. I don't mind coordinated fire strain, especially because Wrecker and Hunter have strains on their trees. So it often yeah. adds up to a damage.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting because I think I still much rather prefer the expose from the ARFs. I mean, who doesn't? But
yeah.
I think I do miss the coordinated fire triggers, and Tekko just doesn't have that.
That's right? A great point. That's an excellent point. And it is nice to be able to spread the board with, you know, I mean, if your ARFs are on one side of the board and you can't spread them out, it is nice to be able to have the wolf pack on the other side so that all of your shots are getting some kind of coordinated fire. That's a really good point.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, getting them into melee is also really fun because you
yes.
get some bonus dice and then you add that hunter consistency.
Yep.
And so they've been able to really push through quite a bit when they do get in melee. Yeah, they die very often.
Yeah. But they have 9 health, right? And so, yeah. or I'm sorry, they have 8 health. And
eight
so,
health.
And so, and I mean, if you can focus and get them a hunker token, I mean, it matters and they are in the scrum. And so I get that. I think the wolf pack is, we thought they were going to be really strong, and I think they're a little underrated at this point, but I still think they're a very strong unit, right? Especially if you are knowing how to leverage them. So awesome. All right. Well, let's turn to the main topic. What we're going to be doing, and this is Mama Dooku Part 2 Coup, because we did a recent episode talking about Mama Dooku, because it is a list I've been playing a lot. And I've been playing it a lot, mostly because after Adepticon, I mean, we all knew that the list was good, but I don't think anyone realized who was not seriously preparing for Adepticon how good the list was. And especially with Mama. I mean, I think everyone kind of knew that Dooku was very strong. But I think that Mama, people knew she was strong, but that there was just a lot of underrating in terms of her power level. And I think a part of that is because she is a very hard figure to pilot, which we know from Adepticon, where she had in Swiss a sub 40% win rate. And she was taken in a fair amount of games. So she's obviously not easy to play. And so I started, after Adepticon, I wanted to start grinding the list and playing it. And then Amon has played it a lot, and I wanted to pick his brain and talk about it. So Amon, let's talk about this list, why it's so good, what you think about it.
Yeah, so I think it should start with kind of the origin, right, of like why the list functions in the first place. And we've both talked about this a lot on respective shows,
mm-hmm.
that Jedi Hunter Vader is just something that, you know, regardless of how you feel about him, I think in terms of his actual gameplay experience, can just really, honestly, just wound a lot of your units, right, when
yeah.
you're playing against him.
Yep.
And so I kept thinking, like, man, if this is my boogeyman, right, if this is the guy who's bullying the meta, I mean, he's won all 3 online TTS leagues.
Mm-hmm.
He's won plenty of events. He's got a great win rate. How do we combat this? Mm. And I started taking a look at all the primaries out there, and then obviously, you know, you guys kind of caught on to Dooku a little faster than I did, at least. Mm-hmm. Because Kenny, I think you were playing Dooku Ahsoka for a while.
That was the only way I could keep up was by playing Ahsoka Dooku.
Yeah. And so I guess what I want to do is I want to take that a step further, because I, at the time, and my tune is changing now because of Hunter, but I just felt like Republic was not necessarily the move at the time. And I think Ahsoka was limiting what I wanted to take. And so started looking at the primaries and I was like, wow, okay, well, Dooku has a payback trigger or a revenge trigger, whatever you want to call it. Mama T has the same thing as well. And what I think the important thing is that they also are very simple to plug into a premier list as well, right? Like, you can just take the Mama box, you can take the Dooku box, and then that's it. You don't have to worry about, what am I going to do? How do I mix and match? The design and the strategy is all there.
Yeah.
So I think really what it comes down to is it's a really good counter to aggressive gameplay. And whether it is fortunate or not, that's how most people like to play games in general.
Yeah, great point.
They just want to roll dice and kill stuff and move things off the table. Well, mm-hmm. while you're not necessarily removing minis from the table often in this game, what you're doing is you're still wounding them, right? You're putting them to sleep, whatever you want to call it. And that is a viable strategy because it's a form of control. You can't hold points if you're dead.
Absolutely.
Right? Your force economy is totally destroyed if you've taken wounds, right? And that adds up over time. And so that's why I think Dooku and Mama are so good, because they kind of throw that on their head and say, actually, I'm going to make you not only second guess every kill that you take.
Yep.
Right? But I'm going to punish you when you do get kills. And so your game plan is my game plan, in a sense.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So what it really comes down to, number one, I think there's four things that I really want to put buckets into, and then we can expand into that. But number one, it's squad composition and strategy. Then I would say probably force efficiency. Then I would say just the whole idea of those counterattacks and the disruptions that they can offer, right? Those revenge triggers. And then lastly, the tankiness aspect of the list in terms of the actual stamina and the durability, and then the control, right? So we can start with squad composition synergy. I already kind of touched on this a little bit, but not only are they just really easy to put into a premier list, right? Which is the way that I like to play the game. And I think, is the Zi-Fi Invitational premier as well?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So perfect. So de facto way to play the game at highly competitive levels. And what's really cool is there's a lot of internal synergy. Let's start with the mother box, right? First of all, the Night Sisters. So whether you like them or you don't, coordinated fire exposed, as we know, is amazing.
So good.
Who loves coordinated fire exposed? Everyone, but particularly Savage and Mother T.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? Because Savage wants to murder or condition stack stuff, and Mama T is just going to shove you all the way out to, you know, Nebraska, whatever, right? So
no, absolutely.
So I think that's super important. And what you're able to do is you're able to recycle this expose, because the squad itself has exposes on their damage trees.
Yep.
So not only are you able to further push expose from your Night Sisters, but then, you know, if your Night Sisters are further away, or maybe you shove someone away from anyone else that can give you expose, it doesn't matter, because Mama T or Savage can expose them.
Yep.
And then from there, your other squad can then benefit from that expose.
Absolutely.
So it's like this synergistic loop that just continually buffs their offensive capabilities. And then, of course, as you know, Dooku and Magna Guards are insane.
Turns out, super good.
What a match, right? What a match made in heaven or in a droid factory. But the thing is like, you get Dooku and a Magna Guard on a point, you're not getting that point from your opponent.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Right? It costs so much resources to get rid of those guys.
It's insane. Dooku is one of the best defensive characters in the game. Even when exposed, he's got pretty healthy defensive dice in general.
Yep.
His abilities are incredible. I mean, you really have to be careful, because he can often bait you into attacking him. You might shove him off and then he just dashes back on, right? Twice the pride and all that. So,
yeah, and smacks you for it. Exactly.
Smacks you for it. So double dashes, double advances, putting bodies on points quickly and locking them down. So from that perspective alone, it's an amazing box, because even if you're not fighting into, you know, a Vader Grievous or a Vader Maul or whatever, Cad Bane, who's trying to wound you consistently, it's like, wow, this is just a good list in general because it works. It's self-sufficient. I don't need Obi-2. I don't need Rex. I don't need Kalani. I don't need Kraken. I mean, Django, of course, but, you know, he's just adds to displacement there. So then we move into Force efficiency, right? So cool thing about the Force is, of course, Dooku comes in with 4. So you're one up on Force than most people, right, at 7.
Yep.
But then also, like, you're not really using Talzin's Force abilities and Dooku's Force abilities much, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you need to use Manipulating Hand with Talzin, then it's probably once a struggle. So if that's just 2 Force, you still have plenty left over.
Yep.
If you want to swap into her more melee-oriented side where the active ability is there, the name escapes me at the moment.
Wrath.
Then Wrath, exactly. Yep, thank you. Then you can. And I think there are sometimes games where you could maybe start in Wrath, try to get a free active ability, and then swap back to Great Mother, and then you're just chilling in that stance for the rest of the game, right?
Because
that's where you want those shoves. But I think, from that perspective, you're not using a lot of Force, but it gives you the option to really blow through your Force when you really need to, and I like that.
Agreed.
Savage isn't very Force hungry either.
Nope.
Right? And he gets a lot of free movement from Talzin and Dooku.
Yep.
The Magna Guards aren't really using any Force. So really, it's just Django and your Night Sisters, because your Night Sisters are going to want to jump often. And then from there, Mama T and Dooku as needed. And I think that also allows you a lot of flexibility, right? I mean, think about it this way. Like, there are games where, like, Mama T goes down and I don't care to spend the 3 Force. I never worry about spending 3 Force for a Manipulating Hand because I'm always going to have it.
Yeah. Especially because you will have regenerated 2 Force for having Mama T go down, right? With Dooku's identity. So it just...
Exactly.
You cannot win for losing versus this list. Like, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go get Mama T and make this more expensive. And it's like, okay, yeah, you can do that. But the list will still have the resources to do what it needs to do.
100%. And this compounds as the game goes on, right? Because it's like, okay, you're running out of Force. Your abilities cost more expensive. I'm not really using my abilities. It's just Django and Mama T and the Night Sisters, right? Really.
Yeah.
So that's what I really like it. And then from there also, it's just like, you're trying to kill me? Cool. So what happens when you wound one of my characters? Okay, and they're not a supporting unit, right? So Dooku can do something. So in the perfect scenario, it's one of your secondaries or your primaries. Cool. First, you get to choose the order, right, between Mama T and Dooku.
Yep.
So you can do whatever is most advantageous to you. And then from there, it's like, all right, Mama T dashes. That can get her onto a point, and she can maybe win 2 points, right? Add a body, push you off, maybe negate your entire activation, right?
Yes, it's brutal.
Dooku does the same thing. I can reinforce with my Magna Guards. Magna Guards are insane because of their shoves, right? And then, of course, I can get an attack with my Magna Guard. And I could maybe just kill you or just shove you all the way.
Yep.
Right. Because Magna Guards just hit hard for no reason. And remember, when you're making these attacks, you're often hitting exposed individuals.
That's a great point. That's an excellent point.
So 5 dice attacks.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're okay. They're really spiky. But when you're hitting an exposed target, they're a lot more reliable.
Yes.
And again, I think that's really important is I'm punishing you for your agenda, for your game plan. And that's what I really like playing Mama T and Dooku. Is like, you're playing Mace, you're playing General Obi, you're playing Vader, you're playing Grievous. Cool. Have fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to have more fun than you. And then you're going to actually not enjoy trying to kill me. Right. Yeah.
Oh, man. I know this pain very well.
Yeah. So I think that is just really important. And then lastly, the tankiness and the control part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, 10 stamina on Dooku.
Yep.
10 stamina on Savage, on Mama T.
Yep.
Strong defensive expertise with both Talzin and Dooku.
Yep.
They have...
Magnus have 10 health.
Magnus have 10 health. Django's got his crazy defensive Beskar.
Yep.
Or Mandalorian armor. And the Night Sisters, they're a little weak.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't be good at everything, and that's okay.
Yep.
Right? And their job is to really sit on a back point and just fire exposes as much as they can.
Absolutely.
And you'd be surprised, man. Like, they can put out some damage. I played a game when I was prepping for Adepticon where the Night Sisters just walked up the board, double tapped and killed the Grievous. It happens.
That's wild.
You know?
That is absolutely
wild. Yeah, no, it is absolutely. And then again, you have so many shoves on a lot of your trees,
yep.
right? Magnus, Dooku, You have displacement with Django. Mama T has shoves. And Savage is the only one who's really not, but yeah. Savage controls you by killing you.
Yeah.
Right? That, or being a body that just doesn't move.
Yeah. And his so that's the thing. He's got this negative form of control, and the fact that he is very tough to remove because he's got 10 health, protection, and steadfast. And on 2 expertise, he has a jump. And so yeah. Savage is really tough to hold down, and he can spike damage, especially if you're exposed. And he also, if necessary, you can pull the ripcord with Dark Rage or whatever that is, Dark Fury, where he does his Django attack.
Fury, yeah.
Dark Fury. And so, I mean, he can surprise you. And I think for me, the biggest surprise about Savage, because I was very low on Savage for a while until I started really playing the list and realizing that Savage's major benefits are, one is he is mobile. He's extremely mobile with Mama and Dooku. And so what happens is as you're establishing your mid-game position on the board, you know, you want Dooku, obviously, to be as centrally located as possible to project threat. And if Savage is in range 3 of him, then he gets to do his thing at the start of Dooku's activation in terms of more dashes. So it's just surprisingly mobile. Very, very mobile.
Incredibly mobile. And I think that's a great point that you make, that he has ways of doing damage outside of his attack as well.
Yep.
Right. And then again, expose.
Yep.
Through that. But I've definitely had turns where I've killed someone with his attack and then I Dark Fury'd someone else. That's 2 wounds, right?
Oof.
It's incredible. Oof. And you gotta set those up. You gotta tee those up. And then we didn't even talk about Django, and we don't really need to. We all know what he can do.
Yep.
But Not So Fast is incredible.
Yep.
And again, this list does a lot of chip damage. It's very similar to Separatists, right?
Yep.
So Mama T is getting 5 dice attacks. Magnas are getting 5 dice attacks. You're getting your regular attacks outside of that. Mm-hmm. And then Not So Fast, Dark Fury, you can tee up a lot of games very quickly, where especially in more of these in-person events where mission critical becomes a factor.
Great point.
Where it's like, cool, I just get 2 wounds and then I get 1 from mission critical. That gives me 3. I just need to hold 2 points instead of 3. I win the game.
Yeah, that is such
Or the struggle.
That actually brings up something that I have thought about a lot with this list, which is that I think it is the best late game list in the game, because as you progress in the game, because of the economy, it's like all of the points that you've made, but especially with the economy and it having the resources it needs in order to keep doing what it's doing, you're going to approach the end game and you're not going to be able to wound units on their team, or they are going to clap back and, you know, Mama T can negate your activation, or she can shoot you and shove you, right? There's just so many things that can happen. And with all this chip damage, now Django can be sitting in the middle of the map. He can be wounded. It doesn't matter. They can spend the 2 force in order to Not So Fast, or he can start denying you activations. It is just, you can put your opponent in just absolute checkmate situations in the late game. It's brutal.
It's so brutal. And we're not even talking about the mental tax this puts on your opponent, right?
Great point.
Because if you're trying to win an event, you have to have a lot of mental fortitude and stamina.
Yep.
So as the days goes on, as the games get more intense and intense, you're drained. Your battery is just getting low naturally.
Yep.
And then you have to play your most, perhaps toughest matchups towards the end of the day, and you're playing a list that you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yep. Great point.
Right. If I kill something, wow, potentially 2 free attacks into me. If I don't wound something, then I'm not doing what I need to do to win the game.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, in the mirror match, which is going to be something that I think is going to be very common moving forward, and probably at Sci-Fi as well, is mirror match comes down to skill.
Yes.
Right.
Very much.
Obviously, dice, it happens. You're sure. Some people are going to roll well. Some people will order deck, will be a bit more functional.
Yep.
But really, what I really like about this is it's not an easy button, right? Yep. Like, if 2 people walk into it and one person is at an 8 in terms of a 1 to 10 range and one person is at a 6, mm-hmm. I'll put my money on the 8 every time. I don't care about dice. I don't care about draw order because this list is so technical.
Yes. And we know that, again, from Mama's sub 40% win rate, right? If you just think you're going to take this list and show up and win, you will not. And so a story about this, Amon, is I played Mama Dooku like summer when the box first came out. I'm like, this looks good. I want to try something like this. I played it and got crushed, absolutely annihilated, because I did not understand kind of the moving parts. And I was like, I think Mama's good, but I just couldn't really figure it out, and just totally bricked and just thought, nope. This is either not good enough or it's not good for me or something like that. I just completely missed how strong this list was. And I think that's how a lot of players are. If you think you're just going to pick it up and win, you will that will not be the case. It is a very technical list. You've got to make the right choices. And kind of like, I think the biggest things is you're thinking about, I mean, obviously all lists are about positioning, but this list, the reason why positioning is so important is because you have so many reactive abilities that you can use, so that your positioning is more important, because you are going to be making, you're putting your opponent in a lot of difficult situations and you will be reacting based on that. So that is why positioning is even more important in this list.
1,000%. And then I think another thing that people really don't think about is deployment, right?
Yes.
Like, if you win priority roll and you place down a really heavy hard hitter, I'm going to probably put Dooku in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mama T can be wounded, and she will.
Yeah.
Right? It will happen.
Yep.
Dooku, on the other hand, he might not. I've played games where Dooku's just taking zero damage because no one wants to put any time and energy into him.
Yep.
Right. Another thing is, like, look at the terrain, right? I really loved Adepticon because it really made me realize what and how AMG wants us to play this game, right? All this scatter, these dense boards. But they make sure the hallways are there. And so, like, if there is a ton of terrain and there's two sides where one is more dense than the other, put Mama T on the less dense side. Yeah. Because Mama T's efficacy is in her dashes, not her climbs, not her jumps, right?
Yep.
So the more dashes that you can get, the more ingress points you can have. What I love about Shatterpoint is that a lot of the gantries, you can walk under them, right?
Yep.
So she can just keep dashing, 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 and she can still shoot above her, right?
Yep.
So it's cool. People don't realize that she can just see everything if you really position her correctly. And I think those are things that I, like, just realized over time, is like, this is what I want, this is what I don't want, but... Sabotage Showdown obviously is a great map pap for it. Never Tell Me the Odds, which we probably won't get into too much, is even more compact in terms of some of the active objectives, right? So it's like, I'm just thinking what Dooku and Talzin can do on that board as well.
We've seen
now everything's next to each other.
Yeah, we've seen the spread where it's like you've got two that are right next to each other and then one that's super far away. And that's just, oof, boy, that could be a lot to deal with.
Well, that's perfect because you park the Night Sisters and maybe Jango on the back point playing defense, and then everyone else is just taking shots, you know, doing their thing. So I think the list is just so powerful in so many different ways. And I know it's kind of a bit of a cop out where, like, practice makes perfect, but this is really one of those lists where it's like, if you understand the matchup and you understand what your opponents are trying to do, it can really, really serve you well.
Yeah. I think that is exactly right. Now, I want to ask you some specific questions, Amon, because I guess I did not realize, although now that I'm thinking back in my brain, I did not realize how formative you were in terms of pioneering this list. Because I remember people talking a lot about Mama Maul, and we know the Rogue Support guys, or Rogue Support, Diz, wouldn't shut up about Mama Maul. But I didn't realize that you had done so much in order to make Mama Dooku. I know, and I've also heard you talk about Mama Maul. So what was it that made you, did you pivot from Mama Maul into Mama Dooku, or was it more of like they're bringing different things? What was the thought there in terms of pioneering this list?
Yeah, so I don't want to take full credit for it because I believe, and I correct me if I'm wrong here, but Luke Thompson from,
maybe,
I think he lives in Australia.
Yeah.
I think he played CanCon and he won CanCon.
Yes.
And he was also running Mama Dooku, right? So I think he independently found success with the list, and it was really nice to just see the validation from someone else on the other side of the planet.
Yeah.
But yes, so I was playing Mama Maul a lot, and I think because part of the shtick with Hello There is I'm Maul and Jesse is Obi-Wan, but really Maul is one of my favorite characters, and I kind of slept on him early on, and then I immediately fell in love with him when I realized how truly strong he was.
So good.
And so, exactly, yeah, he really is. And so when I saw Mama T's ability to dash another Dathomirian, I was like, okay, well, making Maul more mobile makes a lot more sense, right? But then I realized actually he doesn't need to be more mobile.
Yeah, he's so mobile.
Like, oftentimes he can advance three times.
Yeah. Yeah, he's insane.
You know, in his turn. Yep. He's incredible. So then I was thinking, well, I don't necessarily like this pairing. I like the Night Sisters giving Maul exposed, but Maul doesn't even need that either because he can expose everything himself.
Yep.
So at that point, I was thinking, well, maybe I'll just play Mama somewhere. And she was in my premier list. But then what I realized is I lost a game to Morgan Reed.
Okay.
And he was playing, this was in the Top Cuts for Season 1 of the TTS League. And he was playing Vader Maul, his famous Vader Maul list, okay, with Jango and Obi-2. And I realized that my force economy was all out of whack.
Okay.
Because I was running Mama T, Obi-2, Jango, Maul, Night Sisters, and then Super Mandos, right? Everyone's trying to use force.
Okay.
And it just wasn't working for me. And so then kind of went back to the drawing board and I was thinking, well, A, how would I have beaten that list? Because I think he just creamed me with Vader especially and Maul just one-shotting everything.
Yeah.
Then I went back to the drawing board and that's when that conversation kind of happened. And then also simultaneously that force economy, I think, was important, protecting the integrity of that and ensuring that there was longevity and options. Because in that game in particular, I found that there was a moment where I was like, I don't have any force to do anything. Right. Yeah. I kind of blew through it. So those were some hard lessons learned against some great opponents. And then from there, it kind of worked out. And it was really funny because Matt B, right, he won Adepticon. And really, he played a lot of Mama T, Count Dooku.
Yes, he did. And that was all of his top eight matches. He ran Mama T, Count Dooku.
Yeah. Did he? Was he allowed to?
Yeah. I think there was a question about whether or not you'd be forced to switch up, but then you learned beforehand that you wouldn't. So he just ran Mama Dooku
all three. That's right. You're absolutely correct. And so what's really interesting is we were playing in one of the Hello There leagues and he had showed up with Cad and something and I just rocked up with Mama T Duke and he was like, oh, that's a really interesting list. I was like, yeah, I think it works.
Yeah, turns out.
I dunked on him.
Oh, man.
Right. It was a very good game. I mean, Matt's a fantastic player. Absolutely. Obviously, he won Adepticon.
Yep.
One of the best players I know. But I just had a really good game into him. And then he was like, I think I need to mess around with this list more. Right.
Great.
And then he played it better than I did, you know, obviously, because he won Adepticon. So he put a lot of practice and energy into that list. And I give him full congratulations. And yeah, I think that's kind of how the list came in my end. Again,
okay.
Luke, I think, figured it out on his own across the pond, or I don't know. That's actually England, right? What do we say to the people?
I don't know.
Down under. Yeah.
So
you're welcome, Luke, for slaughtering your Australian accent.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, I want to give him credit, too, because he came up with that himself, right? Like, that wasn't a collaboration at all. So it's just cool to see people, multiple groups or different people, coming to the same conclusion simultaneously across the world.
Well, the reason why I think that's especially interesting, again, is because the list, I know that now, after Adepticon and seeing how everything has gone, everyone's like, oh, this list just makes sense. But I don't think that's the case. And again, that is evident by Mama T's win rate, right? And my experience where I picked it up and I just sucked with it. And so I think it's not just about, you know, saying, oh, here's a cool pairing, but thinking about it really. And I think you going from Mama Maul to this and thinking like, how is this list going to address some problems? I mean, Maul's an incredible figure. And Maul and Dooku, you don't really want to say like who is better. They are different figures. They bring different things to your list. But in terms of what Dooku brings, I think it's just a very elegant kind of form of problem solving that is just not obvious, right? It's not obvious how that's going to work. And it takes reps and takes an understanding of the game. So very, very awesome. Here's a question. What map mission pack did you run at Adepticon? Did you run Shifting Priorities or Sabotage?
Sabotage.
Okay.
My challenge with Shifting is that if you lose the first struggle, you have a low percentage of winning the game.
Very much.
And I feel like that just often comes down to either draw order or dice.
Yeah. That's a really good point, actually. Whereas Sabotage is just a lot more controllable.
Yeah. You can lose struggle one and win struggle two and three.
Oh, absolutely. That is absolutely the case. Especially if you know how to play, you know, so I'm going to lose struggle one. Okay, but now I'm going to start playing for damage. I'm going to start playing for attrition so that I can win struggle two and then shift into struggle three and I'll be up on damage at this point, right?
Yeah, and that's another cool thing about this list is if you want to turn on the jets and go for damage, you can.
Yeah.
It can kind of do everything.
Yes, I think that is exactly correct. Now, let me ask, I want to talk about counterplay, but I also want to ask your question about, so one thing we've talked about as we've been list building for it is thinking about bringing Kraken and B2s with Mama. So it makes your premier list building a little bit weirder, but do you think, like, if you were to run this list again, would you keep Savage and the Night Sisters there? Would you think about shifting to something like Kraken and B2s or Kalani and B1s?
I wouldn't change the list personally.
Okay.
I did hear your episode where you guys talked about this, and I do think the points that were made were great. And I certainly think that if you're playing more into the Separatist strategy, it's definitely the superior option. I think for me, what really makes the list sing again is the fact that you can recycle those exposes, which you can do that through all three members of the Dathomirian team. But great then point. Also, like when you're running B2s and you're running Kraken, how am I helping Talzin get better at making her shots, right?
Yeah.
Because again, I think you're not. Yeah. And the biggest thing is like when I get to free five dice attack and I've exposed you because I already attacked you in my mama turn earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I now get my shoves, right? I will get them.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of if, it's when.
Man, that's such a great point. That's a very, very good point. I mean, I have played probably half. No, no, that's not true. I've played probably one third of the games running Savage and Isisters, which I have come around on. And I totally get it. I think I've been playing a lot more Kraken B2s, more to respond to the displacement meta that we've kind of settled on, at least here in Utah and in the games I've played on TTS. You know, thinking about having a little bit more response from Kraken. But it just really what it does is it just shifts your mobility from Mama down to Kraken, right? And that's not necessarily better. It might be in certain circumstances, but you're really just changing the order of operations and who's going to be able to move. So,
yeah, and I think what you're also doing is you're also improving your draw order, because I think one of the pitfalls with the Mama T Dooku list is drawing Savage or Magnus early.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
That's one of the challenges, and I've had many games, unfortunately, where you'll like draw Magna and you're like, all right, I'll reserve, and then you draw Savage and you're like, wow, that is the worst option, right?
Yeah.
And that'll happen from time to time, and you're just gonna have to live and deal with it. I can't remember what happened in my game with Matt, but I don't think it did, but it's one of those things where it's like, well, that just takes a lot of wind out of your sails early on. It's something you can definitely recover from.
I do remember, though, in your game with Matt, you did talk about how the draw order, you needed to draw like one of two things, and the odds were in your favor, obviously, but then you didn't, and so you weren't able to execute on the game plan. And so, obviously, that is like one game.
Yeah, that's probably where I was getting the confusion. I will say I did misplay on that play anyways. Yeah, as much as I'd love to blame the draw order there, I did forget to protection protocols, which is huge.
Okay, well, let me ask now. Let's talk a little bit about counterplay. And I want to get your thoughts on that, because we have been seeing a lot of Obi-Wan Plo, and I think that there is question about Obi-Wan or Plo and the Bad Batch, and thinking about its play into Mama Dooku. So what do you think about that? Do you think that Obi-Plo is the counter? Do you think, or strong play into it? I don't think calling it a counter is not the right word, but strong play. Do you think the Batch plays well into it? What are your thoughts there?
It's a good question. We'll start with your first question about Obi-Wan Plo. Obi-Wan Plo is interesting because Obi's identity is fantastic, right?
Yes.
Being able to add more defense dice, being able to retain them, being able to spend them, remove a condition, remove the expose that we're cycling, right?
Great
and
point.
Reusing. So it is a bit of a challenge. What I will say is I would probably still give it to the Dooku Talzin list, because the sheer amount of movement and number of attacks, the volume, right? Because if we talk about the whole theory of weight of dice, eventually I'm just going to start cracking through.
That's a great point.
Right.
Great point.
And I think Plo is good. And I think Plo gets a lot better when ARFs are on the table or when Vader's on the table. And so I think outside of that specific pairing, or those pairings rather, Plo feels good, but I don't think he's playing his best.
Agreed. Very much agreed.
So I don't know. I mean, I think it's certainly a list that could beat Dooku Talzin. I think a lot of lists can beat the list. It's just, what is their game plan, right? They're not just trying to solely control you, because Obi is not a control piece.
He's like the one Alpha Strike list, or not Alpha Strike, but he's like the one list who's going to come in and spike for tons of damage, right, in this list with Hello There. So,
yeah, and like if you do that, great. I get my two triggers.
Exactly.
Right? So, I mean, is it Barriss on the list? Is it not? So I don't know. I mean, the list is still trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Right. So whenever I see someone with a Republic heavy list, especially with a Jedi leading the way, I love throwing Mama Dooku, because your game plan, because you're holding lightsabers, right? In the space age, you're running with swords at me.
Yeah.
You're trying to kill me.
Yeah.
Hunter is an interesting question, because Hunter lists, we were talking about this too, man. It's like, I'm looking at these Hello There League results, and I'm looking at other results of people playing Hunter and people playing a lot of games with him, and like the wounds in these games are insane.
Yes. Oh my
right?
gosh,
like
yes.
on average, you're seeing 3 to 4 wounds per side in a game. I'm seeing like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 wounds in games from one person.
That's insane. Right?
It's crazy. So it's like, okay, that just makes my list better.
Yeah. Oh, that's right? true.
So it's like, okay, so you want to play Republic. Hunter makes Republic more viable. It gives them more options. Great. It's the same strategy. Mama Tiduku.
That's a great point. Especially because the batch has felt like, in what we've seen, is such an attrition-focused list. So, oh, that's such a great point.
Now, that being said, there is the idea is that they can just kill you and you just lose, right? Because if your guys are all wounded, then it doesn't matter. You can get all the dashes and the 5 dice attacks you want. If those don't land, or if you just can't hold points, it doesn't matter.
Great point.
So it's a double-edged saber, right? And you have to toe the line and find the balance. But if the hunter player just murders your team, you probably lose either way.
Do you think, in terms of this, do you think it is possible to have a list that out aggros? So I guess we've talked about Bad Batch as doing this, but is there a list that is just able, I mean, something like Vader, something with Vader, that just does so much damage that even Mama Dooku can't keep up? Or do you just don't think that's there?
I think the only list that I've seen so far that I'm terrified of, just in terms of the sheer number of wounds, is Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could argue if you get dumped on shifting priorities, you know, Mace is actually a big pain on that map. But shifting is also interesting because, like, if shifting pops up, I still think Dooku and Mama are locking down points.
Yeah.
Right? So things to think about for sure. But no, I don't think there is a list that just punches through it outside Hunter.
Well, okay. So I guess we've talked a little bit about Diceless Displacement. We've talked about Obi-Wan and Plo. I guess for your thoughts, if you are... So obviously you did... Amon didn't really say this, but Amon did very well at Adepticon. And how many times did you play against Mama Dooku, Amon?
I played a ton of air matches. I could probably tell you that right now by looking at it.
I was looking at it because I was as you were playing, I was following you in real time, and it seemed like it was a lot. Your top 8 matches were wasn't your first top 8 match a mirror?
Yeah, that one was a Maul Mother Mare.
Oh, interestingly enough, that's right. That's right. I guess so. The question is that if you're squared up against Mama Dooku, let's say you're either running Mama Dooku or not. Let's say you're not running Mama Dooku. What is, like, how is that changing your approach? Like, what should players be doing if they're running the batch or something like that, and they're going to be running into Mama Maul or Mama Dooku? What should they, like, what's your advice for those players?
Yeah, I mean, the advice is very similar to what I would say to anyone who's playing against Dooku, right?
Okay.
Kill the supports.
Yes, absolutely. Always.
Destroy the Magna Guards, destroy the Night Sisters. If you can reduce their efficacy, if you can make them, if you can make their abilities cost so much more, like, no one's going to spend 3 force for a jump. I have a hard time spending 2 force for a jump.
Yeah.
Oftentimes.
Yeah.
If you displace the Magna Cards to God knows wherever, then I don't care how many dashes you get, because what is your turn then?
Yeah. That's
dash,
it.
Advance, hunker. Cool.
Yep.
You know, like, things like that, I think, are super important. Being able to body block your units as well are super important as well, because it's like, I don't care if you get all the shoves, Mama, if I'm backstop against scatter, terrain, another miniature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important. Obviously, killing Mama, I think, is huge too. And you have to time that correctly, because Mama won't get the clap back, but Dooku will with his Magna Guard. But if you've displaced the Magna Guard, if you've pinned them or you've disarmed them and you've reduced their efficacy, and then you take out Mama, then what happens there is Mama's, all her abilities are more expensive.
Great point.
Then you might actually force her to flip over to Wrath, right? Because I've seen some people do that because they were trying to bank on that active ability, and that makes her range attacks and her revenge triggers a lot harder to deal with. And I don't think most people will do that, but I've seen it. So I think that would be the strategy. And it's not sexy, right? It's a very simple strategy. Just play the Dooku game plan. And then when you're going to take out Mama, or when you're going to take out Savage or Kraken or whomever is in that spot, time it right.
Yeah.
Set it up.
I think that is exactly right. And I love that Mama punishes the wounding of supports, obviously, as the player, because, I mean, that just turns what you're trying to do against Dooku a little bit on its head, but I still think it's the play, because wounding Magna Guards is step number one to defeating a Dooku list. If you can't bring them down, man, you are just a sad panda bear. So
yeah.
Awesome. 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 Well, Amon, do you have any more thoughts, comments? I mean, this has been awesome. Do you have anything else for us in terms of thoughts on the list, advice for running the list, thoughts on where the list goes in the developing meta, anything like that?
Yeah, those are all really good questions. So I think the list is perfectly fine. I think you could play this for the rest of your Shatterpoint career.
Yep.
And I think you could find a lot of success. I think I've seen a lot of conversations around Mando jumping into the list and replacing one of the primaries. I certainly think it works. I think the benefit that I prefer is I get two attacks every time you get one attack and wound one of mine.
Yeah.
At the bare minimum, it's one attack. Where does the list go? I mean, I think if they do extend the Dathomirian synergy a little bit, like, my dream would be to get Cal Kestis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, you know,
Jedi Survivor, baby.
He's dating a Datho.
Yeah.
Right? So
yep.
If she pops in Marin as a secondary, I think that could maybe replace Savage.
Yeah.
I think maybe if they want to get deeper into that, I think that would be really exciting. Another perspective could be, you know, you could put Obi-2 in the list. Sure. Yeah.
You got the
right?
Force.
If you're playing Showdown, you can do that. I think you have to be very careful with how you spend your Force.
Yeah.
But it's certainly something you can think about. But yeah, I'm really curious on the Mando stuff personally. I don't know if it's there yet. In terms of things that can beat the list. Now, this is what I find really interesting, because one of my games I played, I think his name was Cody Hawkins. He's from Austin. He had a list where it was Ewoks and it was Mandalorians.
Wow.
And I was thinking, well, I'm not playing Talls and Dooku into this.
Yeah.
Because those lists aren't trying to kill me.
Yeah.
They're trying to swarm points.
Yep. Be super
and
mobile.
They can displace me.
Yeah. Great point.
Right. So that's what I think beats this list. So if you're like thinking, okay, I want to go to Zi-Fi, or I want to go to the next whatever tournaments that AMG just called them, grand tournaments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my nemesis or this player that I know is going and they do really well with Mama Dooku, or I think the list is too popular now. Dude, one of the best lists in the game is one of the earliest lists that have existed. Lumi Mandos.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's good. So good.
It is so good. It really is.
And I can win points without killing you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kill me. Cool. I recover and I heal. And then when I kill your supports, I get more dashes.
Yep.
Right? So the mobility in those lists, I think, is really important, because in those lists, you're the beatdown. And while you can be a beatdown, you're not necessarily the best at beating down. Like in that matchup, I told him, I said, no matter what you play, this is what I'm playing. And it was Maul Vader, because I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And if I don't kill you, you win.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Ewoks, you know, I think a lot of people are sleeping on Ewoks. I think Ewoks are really good. I think they require a lot of finesse. I think they're only going to get better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, look at that Han box. Han's a scout. Chewie's a scout.
Oh, that's a good point.
Chewie and Han both being Ewok scouts because of Leia.
Yeah.
That could be pretty interesting. Chewie is 12 stamina.
So beefy.
Just swap him out for Papalu.
Yeah. Oh, that's right? True. I mean, that's true.
So I think the list has a lot of legs. I think it has a lot of staying power. And Ewoks, they're murder bears for a reason.
Yeah. They're swarm. They're,
you know, they swarm you and they kill you.
Yeah. I have seen an Ewok player take all 6 points on Sabotage Showdown. I mean, I shouldn't say it like that. I think what happened was the Ewok player had 2 and then swung 4. So they scored all 6. I've never seen before in my life, but they can
it's incredible, because, like, you know, oftentimes people will do is they'll, especially on Sabotage, they'll put either their secondary or their supporting unit, one of the characters, in range of the point.
Yep.
And sometimes, especially when they're going second, they won't put the second unit within range.
Yeah.
Right. So then what happens is overall they'll draw, they'll move. Let's say I have Obi-2, Super Mandos and Maul.
Yeah.
Obi-2 was in range of the point. The Super Mandos jump somewhere else. Obi-2 moves over away.
Yeah.
Wicket can just come across the board and take your back point.
Yeah. He's
insane. If no one's contesting it. It's crazy.
He's so mobile.
So I think that's things you got to worry about, because they're not trying to kill you. So they're not playing into your game plan. They're just trying to swarm points.
Hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting. Well, I guess let's see. I'm really interested to see how Zyfy works, because I think we're going to have a lot of people running Mama Maul or Mama Dooku. And I'm very interested to see how it shakes out, where people have been thinking about how to beat it and practicing it more, right? Like in the month since Adepticon, and just as we've been playing more games. So, all right, Amon, my brother. Well, thank you for coming on. Thank you for dropping this awesome knowledge on us. You and Jesse, you guys are the gold standard for hello there. We love you guys so much. So
that's very kind of you. And I say this, and I mean this wholeheartedly. I look forward to every Zahn's Finest drop, yeah, because y'all are my go-to for content. So I'm very excited to have this collaboration with you, this friendship with you.
Yeah.
And thank you for having me on the show. I think it's an absolute honor and a pleasure. And we'll have to return the favor. I mean, we've been talking about it a little bit, so.
Well,
Kenny will join hello there soon.
I would absolutely love to do it. I really want to encourage everyone to make sure that I am sure that everyone here who is listening to this listens to hello there, but you should also join their Patreon. You should join their TTS community. They really have such a good presence both online and in person. And you know how something super interesting about this, Amon, that I noticed, so many players at Adepticon had your hello there shirts and things like that. You can just tell that you guys have a really strong camaraderie, which is something that I very much value in terms of the wider community. Having you guys have just done such a good job about welcoming people in and helping build up the community. So you guys are awesome.
Thank you so much, man. And look, we're not the only ones. You guys are doing that. Some of the other content creators are as well. So I think a rising tide lifts all ships. And
absolutely.
So definitely very proud and grateful of the Hello There community. And, you know, I know that some people, you know, are like, oh, you guys have to be a patron, join the Discord and all that. And I get it. If that's not your thing, look, hey, no problem. I think for us is we want to have a community where people can feel safe, where people can feel like they can come in and ask noob questions and the internet's not going to jump on them, right? Yeah. And I think that's really important to us, is we just want to create and foster an environment where your love for Star Wars, your love for Shatterpoint is paramount, and you can just hang out with people who want to hang out and talk about Star Wars. I mean, we have people in the Patreon who don't play Shatterpoint. They just talk about the Star Wars shows, and it's great because we love Star Wars.
Yeah. And I think that comes through, obviously, in your content in terms of everything you produce. And you guys have done a really good job creating that particular kind of culture, and the culture that is, that makes people want to be engaged, and without it being a form of exclusion, right? And if anyone has a hard problem about joining the Patreon, it's like, okay, but again, this is the community that you guys have curated, and you've done a lot of work to make it the way it is. So it's awesome. You guys are awesome.
That's very kind of you, man, and thank you. And again, if you're not in the Slack, join the Slack,
there,
right?
You. There you go. So you can hear us. So you can hear everybody talking about how awesome Kanan is, because he's freaking awesome.
He's great, man. I'm super excited about him. Let me ask you this
real
quick. What's your most excited release that they've announced so far?
Han, by far.
I mean,
I love Luke. Like, Luke is my jam. But when we played IA, Han was my most played figure by orders of magnitude. And so, like, my it used to be my favorite Star Wars characters were Han Solo. Very far down the list is like Obi-Wan, right? And then whoever else. And now it's kind of reordered, where it's like Ahsoka and Obi-Wan are probably at the top. But Han is right there. Man, I am so stoked for Han. And it'll be super fun to get that box.
He looks great, man.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. I know that this one is super far out, but Ki-Adi-Mundi and Kit Fisto.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Dude, can't wait for those. And then, of course, the No Disintegrations, right?
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Are you excited for Inferno Squadron? Are they?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I think for me, it's a big cultural moment as well, because I'm of South Asian descent.
And
Aiden is played by Janina, who is of South Asian descent. So for me, it's like, cool, I finally have some sort of representation, of someone that kind of looks like me, or someone of my family member. So I love that.
Yeah.
And she's Empire. She's got guns. They're coming down, taking people out. I love it so much. And it's great, man. I think Star Wars is amazing. And I'm so excited to the future of Shatterpoint. Like, it's just the beginning, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the AMG is just knocking it out of the park with respect to game design and these character design. I mean, I would say there have been a few that probably haven't landed as well as we would have thought. But I think that 9 times out of 10, everything AMG is releasing, I'm just thinking, that is such a creative way.
It's amazing
to approach that problem, right? Like Gideon, when I saw his box, I'm like, I never would have thought of this. And what an incredible figure, right? And then Han, we were thinking like, how do we simulate Han's kind of shooting back and everything like that? And they did an excellent job with that. And so it's just every step, I mean, just they've just been knocking it out of the park. So
it's incredible, man. It's the small things too, right? Like Greef not having the bounty hunter tag because he's not a bounty hunter, even though he runs the bounty hunter guild, right? Small things like that. Or if you look at Hondo or Crosshair's stance card, most people have their silhouette cut off, but like Crosshair snipers peeking out through the circle.
That is so awesome.
Pick Muck Muck is his hand is coming out trying to reach for something outside of the circle. It's like small things like that where you probably don't even notice, right? Yeah. And it's like, wow, whoever is in charge of art right there really added to the theme. It was cool. So
yeah.
I apologize for hijacking the end of your show here, but for me it's just if you get me talking, I won't stop.
That's all right. Hey, we love it. We absolutely love it. And everyone should listen to Hello There because, I mean, your guys' discussion of all this stuff, like Greef not being a bounty hunter. I was listening to your episode and I listened to that and I'm like, oh yeah. Because I was kind of mad. I'm like, why isn't this guy a bounty hunter? And I had kind of thought about it from the perspective of the show, but not really. But then I was like, oh yeah, he's not a bounty hunter. Yadoy. So yeah, that was your guys' content is just so good. Everyone should listen to it because you guys are very knowledgeable about Star Wars. So, all right, well, that's it. Everyone, have an awesome week. If you're coming to Zi-Fi, we cannot wait to see you. Listen to Hello There, join their Patreon, and have a ton of fun. Thanks, everyone.